And the great help that Brother Harrison is to churches is really more than most of us realize, because getting good material in the hands of people is just so important, because there are so many things that aren't worth having in. And here's a man who's given his life to try to do his best to get good Bible-based material into the hands of God's people. And so it's also a joy to have tonight. I missed him last week, but I think that Gabriel Haddon Wakefield is here, right? Is that him back there? All right, Brother Daniel and Miss Becca's newest edition, and praise the Lord for little Gabriel being here, and Samuel, Micaiah, the big brothers back there, and we're certainly thankful for the God's blessings upon the Wakefield family, and what a joy it is to see that little fella. So, many good things about tonight, and I want to share with you a scripture that on the subject of missions, and I'd like for you to turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and then we'll turn to Philippians chapter 4. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, a familiar passage where the Lord told the disciples they would receive power. And the passage that we read is before Christ is ascending back to heaven. And it's talking about Samaria, Judea, the uttermost part of the earth. Jerusalem, as you find your place in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says this: "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me." And then you notice that next word, and it's been taught to this church many times: "both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, if I were telling somebody how to do something, I would tell them to master it first where they're at. I would tell them if they were going to start a franchise that they should get the first one running like a well-oiled machine before they ever start telling anybody else how to do it somewhere else. You would want to get that business so that it was very predictable and duplicatable, if that's a word, able to be duplicated. But the scripture here tells us that those group of disciples that were gathered together there were told to be witnesses unto you, or come to you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me for Jesus Christ, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria. So I told you, if I was telling somebody how to start a business, I would tell them to get all the kinks worked out, get everything ironed out before they ever started telling somebody else how to do it. And if you translate that to a church, then the church was supposed to have every problem fixed and everything in line, all the kinks worked out, all the wrinkles ironed before they ever started telling anybody else how to do it. Now, how many of you see the problem with that equation? We're the wrinkles. We're the ones who haven't been ironed out yet. So what the scripture says is Jesus telling his disciples, I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to go both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. Jerusalem was where the words were first given right then. Well, that's where they're at. They're in that area. And Judea was the country, the larger group, or larger area rather, where Jerusalem was. Samaria was up on the north border, and a little further on. So they were told that they would reach their immediate area, their region, the little place above there, and then the uttermost part of the earth. It's an interesting truth, though, that these four places are supposed to be reached simultaneously. While we're doing it here, we're supposed to be doing it there. And so this evening, I am trying to get all of us to see that we need help. We need help in the bus ministry so that we can reach people right here. It's unfair for us to talk about society and how bad it's getting without us taking the only hope that society has, and that's the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, to where it desperately is needed. So we're shooting for folks to be called to the bus ministry right here, You have not because you ask not. The Bible says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. They'd send forth laborers unto his harvest. And so we're praying for that. But not only are we supposed to do that, if we did that tremendously, if we did everything that we were supposed to do, and we did all that our region could stand, and we didn't go further than this, then we would be disobedient to what the Scripture says. I want you to turn now, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. And I want to give you a familiar example of just what Acts 1:8 says to do the people at Philippi were doing. So I want to preach a message entitled, Go and Stay for the Gospel. Go and Stay for the Gospel. Are you at Philippians chapter 4? Let me pray and then we'll look at that verse. Father, and I ask you to bless us. Please clear our minds, dear Lord, and help me. Lord, I pray that you would let this church continue to be a lighthouse for you. Lord, I pray that we'd be able to do more for missions. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't see people saved across the world without us seeing people saved down here in Johnson City and up in Kingsport. Lord, I pray we wouldn't pay for our missionaries to go around the world and that we wouldn't go around the corner. I pray that we wouldn't go around the corner without sending our money around the world. I pray we'd do it all. I pray that you'd bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians 4, verse 14, the Bible says, notwithstanding, you've well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again out of my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell and sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then he tags us on, God does, but my God shall supply all your need. He was saying, I like to put it like this, you think you sent a gift basket over to me? You wait till you see the gift basket the Lord Jesus Christ sends you. You think I got something, you wait till you get what you get. He shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I want to give you these few moments that we might see our great need and opportunity to go around the world through people like the Muldoons and to stay here in this area and preach the same message that they'll be preaching. I want you to see, I brought you to Philippians because I want you to see here. I see, first of all, they carried the work on in one place while praying and paying for another. I know that's long if you're taking notes. But look back in verse 15. We're in Philippians. We'll stay there. Verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. They carried the work on there where they were, but they paid again and again for the work to go where they weren't. They carried it on there in one place while they were paying and playing or praying for somewhere else. You see, my friend, we need to get this idea that the gospel works everywhere. It doesn't matter what language it is. You just got to figure out the language, learn it, and then present the same message when you get there. And then when they learn the message and they go preach it somewhere else, then we need to be saying the same thing over here. And you say, doesn't that sound like a broken record? Yes, but it's the gospel record. There's the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It works every time in the lives of people when they'll submit themselves to the gospel message. And we see that Paul said to this group in Philippi, he said, you were doing what you were supposed to do there, and you were sending some sweetness. You were sending, as he says, a sweet odor of sacrifice. You were sending it over to me, and you were paying for me. You were praying for me. And this group of believers caught the idea that the gospel message needed to be presented where they were and where they weren't. Because I'll never go to where, as far as I know, where our missionaries are going. If it is, it will be for a short trip to check on them and support them and whatnot. But as far as I know, I hope I would be honest to go before the Lord if He called me to go. But as far as I know, this is what God wants me to do. And so, but I don't get off the hook because God didn't call me into missions. I'm commanded to go by some vehicle to the places where need the gospel, and that's everywhere. And so what Philippi, the people at Philippi, the Philippian people did, they carried on the work there and they prayed and paid for somebody to do it somewhere else. We moved from Columbus area, Ohio, to down to here. And you know what we found from here? The same place we found in Delaware, Ohio, which is the same place things we found in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, which is the same place we found in our homeland of West Virginia. And that is that people need the gospel. They're everywhere. I understand in certain regions of our nation, people are more gospel literate than others, but they all need the gospel. It doesn't matter if you go to five houses and four of them say, "Oh yeah, saved, Christian, yeah, my dad's a preacher, my mom's a preacher, my grandmom's a preacher, yeah, I got it sewed up." Well, that may be reason to worry there, but they may have all kinds of religious jargon and all kinds of things that they know, but you know nobody gets to heaven without accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we understand that these people got busy in Philippi with preaching the gospel. And they also, though, found a missionary coming through. And he was going, as he says here in Thessalonica, verse number 16, "You sent once and again unto my necessity," which brings me to my second point. They continued in this process for some time. It wasn't a one-time love offering. They said, "Well, I hope that does you, Paul. We're going back to helping ourselves." How many of you understand it costs a lot to live in Romania, just like it costs a lot to live over here? How many of you bought milk in the last month? How many of you bought bread? How many of you bought bread? Whatever you buy, it's all expensive. And we understand that those prices are high everywhere else, but this group of people that Paul has used of God to write back to, he says, you've sent unto me, look at verse 16, "once and again unto my necessity." That's why I love it when I see people down the halls of our church here reading the missionary letters. And so people will tell me from time to time, "God convicted me," or "God led me. I think we ought to give this to certain missionary." And we understand that this process that they carried on to assist the Apostle Paul wasn't a once and done. It happened again and again and again. Let me illustrate. When Amy and I were married, but before any kids came, I served on staff at the church of our home church in West Virginia. And so her nephew would oftentimes go with us, and Joel would go with us to restaurants or wherever, and we would take him. But you know what's a wonderful thing about kids like that? When you're done with them, you just take them back. Much the same feeling that you grandparents have. You bring your grandkids in, you load them up with sugar, you give them all the stuff that you wouldn't allow your kids to have back when they were in the house, and then you get them all hyped up on this, and you spin them like a little top, and then you open the door back to your kid's house, and you say, "Now go!" And you shut the door quick, and you get back in the car, and you say, "Aren't grandkids great?" But what something happened on August 12th, 2000, we picked one up at Mercy Hospital, and there was nobody to take him back to. Jared came home with us and stayed with us. And so he needed help again and again and again and again. Well, our missionaries down the hall, they're going to need help again and again and again and again. And that's not a drudgery to us. That's a privilege for us to get to serve, and a privilege for us to get to supply some of the needs as God empowers, enables us so we can help them. That's not something that we mind. Those missionaries on the boards, they're not peeling off anytime soon. If they get off and they get one project finished, most of them, they'll go do another one. If they plant one church and they get it up to where nationals can pastor it, then they'll go to another region and plant another one. And then they'll go plant another one. I'm saying that just like the people at Philippi, they helped Paul again and again and again. They paid for and prayed for him where they weren't, but they didn't do it one time only. But I want you to see verse in 17 and 19, what it did for them. It brought God's blessings. Not because I desire a gift, are you in 17 there? But I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. I know this church, I know we know this, but look at who the account was going to, that those people that paid for the Apostle Paul to live, whose account was that fruit going to? It wasn't going to him, although he was the mouthpiece, he was the preacher, he was the megaphone, he was the one that God was using to get the job done. But Paul said, "I desire that so that the fruit may abound to your account." I know that sometimes people get pious and they say, oh, I don't ever want to talk about rewards and I don't want to do it for that reason. I'm not sure why God would put it in the scriptures if he didn't allow that to be a motivation for us, because it's clearly listed here. It's clearly listed when the judgment seat of Christ is talked about. And he says here that it's going to bring God's blessings and that fruit may abound to your account. So they took care of God's work and God took care of them. And can I just tell you this? Our caretaking of missionaries is not anywhere compared to what God's caretaking ability is to us. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We try to supply on a small level some of the needs to our missionaries, but we're very limited. Our finite ability only goes so far. Our money only stretches so far. Our missionary dollar can only go to a certain point. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. God has this circular system where he says, you supply the needs of some of these missionaries, and I'm going to supply your needs so that you can go back and supply some more needs. And then as you supply those needs, I'm going to come back and supply some more of your needs. And then when they get their needs supplied, I'm going to supply some more of yours. And they'll go just in a circular motion like that and say, why didn't God cut out the middleman? I don't know why God does all that he does, but he uses us to help some other people, and he uses those to help some other people. And it's a big circle that God's got. And I'm glad to be a little small cog in that. See, because I not only preach to you that we should give to missions, my wife and I, we give as well. Because I want to have a part of what's going on in the missionaries that you see that are supported by Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, because I'm not planning to go to those places. I said, I'm being as transparent as I can be. I think that I would honor God. I think I would be obedient if he told me go, but I'm not there yet. So since I'm not there yet, I feel a responsibility that part of my money must go. And that's what happened as Paul was provided for by the people of Philippi and some other churches. But as he was provided for the people of Philippi, then he says that God will supply your need because you have come and you've supplied my need. My in-laws are wonderful Christians. Some of the two of the greatest Christians I know are Delbert and Helen Norris. And all the time Amy was growing up, they would have missionaries and pastors and preachers and visitors and things like that in their home. He was a deacon for all the time Amy was growing up. Spent, I'm sure, hundreds of dollars that never got reimbursed, never got any accounting for, just out of their family budget to be a blessing to preachers. Not to mention all the money they've given to missions through the years at the church. Are they rich? Did God bless them with great millions of dollars? I hope so. I don't know, but I hope so. Because I'm married to their daughter, so I'm hoping that it pays off. I doubt they are. But I think they've celebrated 67 years of marriage to each other. I mean, just to one spouse. They've got Amy and I. They've got their preacher son that pastors our home church. Their other daughter, Amy's twin, is a Sunday school teacher at our home church in Murfreesboro. Her other two brothers have been, if they're not now, deacons in their independent Baptist churches. A grandson that pastors a church over in North Carolina. I would say that their God has supplied their needs, and He has met their blessings with more blessings, and he has supplied their need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I wanted to share with you tonight that our job is very simple. We are supposed to win souls in our area. That means get somebody on your heart. I don't care if you're a college kid, don't care if you're retired, don't care what level you're at age-wise. We ought to pray, God, let me see somebody come to faith in Jesus Christ. We ought to win souls in our area. And then we ought to be a forgiving, friendly, accepting church that builds up people in their faith. And then we ought to support with our money the gospel missionaries that are going around the world. It really boils down to where it's pretty simple. I told you the other night that I hope that we get the idea. Everybody you see tomorrow, whether that's at the stores or your business, wherever it is, I'm challenging us all to be soul conscious realize that everybody we see is going somewhere forever. They've got an eternal soul. We'll spend it forever. And that's the first step in us reaching anybody for Christ. We've got to first understand that everybody's going somewhere. And we're supposed to win souls. Show them the gospel. You say, well, I don't know if I can do all that. Well, one thing, you could do a lot more than you think you can. You say, well, what if they ask me some hard questions? Well, most of the time when they ask those hard questions, there's something I like to try, and that is, I don't know the answer to that. I'll get back to you. If you can't get back to them, have me, I'll get back to them, or have somebody else get back to them. But we ought to win souls. My heart's burdened for our bus ministry because we need to see it grow, and we need to see it expand, and we need to see it because people are in such need. And Daniel has taken that on, and I want you to pray for him. And don't be surprised when he comes to ask you, say, hey, have you ever thought about serving in the bus ministry? I'd like to get all of our routes so that we have multiple people serving so that it's not such a burden on one and still allows us to go and spread out and divide to multiply, divide to conquer and divide to multiply the efforts. But I want to see us do it here. And then I'd love to see us do it around the world. Thank you so much for giving to Faith Promise Missions. Perhaps you haven't yet been led to, you haven't given into the leading of God to take part in our Faith Promise Missions program. I challenge you sometime before you go to church early or stay late and look down the hall at some of the missionary letters. Those people count on churches like this. And I'm so thankful. You say, how much does your family give? Well, it's not much. But all of us together, we can labor and we can put in there and we can see missions go forward and the gospel around the world. So I'm asking you to stay and go for the gospel. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for the opportunity to be in a church that loves missions. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to pastor a church that loves to get the gospel out. And Lord, I believe that we're a church that wants to do that. And I pray that you would add to us. I pray that you would send laborers into the harvest here and around the world. And we'll thank you for all that you do. As they begin to play, and if you're able to, would you stand together? And the invitation's very simple tonight, and that is this. If the Lord is dealing with your heart, I want you to know as your pastor, I'm praying specifically that the Lord would send forth laborers into his harvest. You say, preacher, I can't be on one of those buses. Well, you can sure pray for one. You can sure pray that the Lord would put us laborers and workers on there, but maybe you can. And if you'd consider, I challenge you to get with Daniel and let him know that I'd like to help on one of those buses. And maybe you're here and you don't currently give to Faith Promise Missions. It's very simple. We take the we'll one of these days get back taking regular offerings, but now the ushers stand at the back door. You simply mark it on a check or mark it on one of those giving envelopes that you'd like to give to the mission program. And when our missions month comes back around later this year, you can make a commitment to you and the Lord to say, I'd like to give $10 or $20 or $30 a week or whatever God lays upon your heart. And those things are above our tithes and those are faith promise, grace giving. You can give online. There's pull downs for both missions and general fund and other things that we have going through the year. But I'm asking you to go and stay for the gospel. Go around the world through our mission dollar and stay here and preach the gospel. You say, preacher, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to get your salary from a church to give the gospel. Would you come? Maybe there's some other need in your heart. You just want to come and pray. Maybe you want to be baptized. You need to be baptized. You're saved, but you haven't followed Christ in that. We're going to, Lord willing, we're going to baptize somebody this Wednesday night. Looking forward to it. Want you to be here for it. And maybe you'd like to join in on that. Thank you. You can look this way. We have crammed so much into this service, but you know I like to be fairly timely. But we do have some excitement. If you'll be seated just for a moment, I'm going to ask Brother Danny Jenkins. He's our secretary of our deacon body. And he's going to share a few things. I just met with the deacons right before the service, and he's got some exciting news that I'd like for all of us to be a part of.
The pastor and deacons recommend that we give support to the Muldoons at $100 per month. This will come from the Mission Fund, and I make this motion.
I believe the Muldoons would be a great addition to our mission family, and they're from right down in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Silent Word is a wonderful mission agency. It's also the one that the Galleons serve with, and so we're certainly thankful for the Muldoons coming our way. And so we make that motion, and if you agree with me, we would need somebody to second that. All right, Brother Stephen Gallion will second that. And all in favor of taking the Muldoons on for monthly support, that'd be, as Danny mentioned, $100 a month, $1,300 total a year, because we give one extra come December, I believe it is. So that would be $1,300 a year. So all in favor, say amen. 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 All opposed? Same sign? All right.
Pastor, the deacons recommend that we give the Halis in Botswana, Africa, $5,000 for ministry needs. This will come from the Mission Fund, and I make this a motion.
The Haleys are a wonderful couple in Botswana. This is the couple that Summer Scroggs spent most of the time with while she was over there, and they've just been delightful. They've called me about Summer while she was there. I mean, not to report, but just to encourage and share some things. They've got a project. They're putting together New Testaments in some the language that they use there. I think that's going to cost $2,000, and I just am a firm believer if people are serving the Lord, we ought to get them the need, the things that we can do to bless them. And so $2,000 of that would go for that that New Testament project, and then the other three would go for missionary or ministry needs that they have. So we make that motion. If somebody would like to second that, all right. Brother Jordan Smith will second that. All in favor, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All opposed? Come on. Same sign. Come on up, Danny.
The pastor and the deacons recommend that we give the Gilmers in Brazil $1,000 for financial needs. This will come from the Mission Fund, and I make this motion.
The Gilmers are a good family. I haven't met them yet, like many of our missionaries, but because of the exchange rate or however money works out down there, they are about 23% undersupported, and they've seen that come up. Some others have come by, come alongside of them, but what I'd like to do is, as he just said, I'd like to give an extra $1,000 because the way that they're seeing that deficit taken care of is by churches like ours giving extra to carry them through until their support level can get back up. So I would suggest that we give that $1,000 just as a one-time gift. They'll get their regular support like we do to all of our missionaries. So if somebody would want, if you feel that in that, Brother John Young seconds that. All in favor, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Opposed, same sign. All right.
The pastor and the deacons recommend that we give Junior McIntosh $2,000 for the purchase of a van, toward the purchase of a van. This will come from the Mission Fund, and I make this a motion.
Brother Junior, he's from Eastside Baptist Church down here in Greenville, but they serve in Belize, and they're driving a 21-year-old van that's got holes in the top and bottom, and rain comes in the top, and mud comes in the bottom, and they're picking people up in this, and so they lack $2,000. It's a $15,000 van. They've got $13,000 saved for it, and so I would love for our church to finish that out and give the $2,000 needed so they can get that new van, and they've just been afraid to use that old one. But they're picking people up every service to get them in under the Word of God. So we make that motion. Anybody like to second that? Brother Leroy right there makes that second. All in favor, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All opposed, same sign. Oh, good.
Perfect.
The pastor and the deacons recommend that we give the Bible and Literature Missionary Foundation $1,500 for Bibles for the Ukrainian people. This will come from the Mission Fund, and I make this a motion.
BNL, as they call it, Bible and Literature Missionary Foundation, is a wonderful agency in Shelbyville, Tennessee. They're out of a good independent Baptist church right there in town. And they are printing, they've got a goal of printing 1 million New Testaments to send in churches in Ukraine or around the borders of Ukraine into good soul-winning evangelistic, very strongly evangelistic churches and church planters and ministries so they can just get the Word of God. And so we would, in essence, buy how many, Danny? What did we say?
$1,500.
So that, well, I think we'd buy, I think a thousand. That would buy 1,000 New Testaments that they're going to, as they get a container filled, they'll send them over. They've got a goal of 1.5 million, but they won't wait, of course, to get them all. They'll just print them and get us a container and ship them over. So I'm recommending together that we send $1,500 to buy 1,000 New Testaments. They print them right there in Shelbyville, and then they're going to container them up and get them across. So, all right. So would somebody like to second that? All right, Brother Eugene Radford over there. All in favor, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All opposed, same side. All right. Is that it? Well, it's been a full night, and thank you for being a part of all of it. Now, I'd like to remind you that, we got to close it. So, we need a motion to close the business meeting. I always forget this part. All right. Brother Larry Stover, would you say, Larry's going to motion the other one, and then he don't motion this one. I missed him on the other. You don't want to go. He doesn't want to go home. All right. Everybody but Larry and Linda, we're going to be dismissed in just a moment. So, Brother Scott, you making that motion? All right. And then we need a second. Daniel Wakefield. All in favor? Say amen. All right. Amen. All opposed? Well, thank you for being in church. And we did try to cram a lot in. We're just about 10 minutes later than normal, but we had a great time doing it. Brother Larry Harrison is already out there, and I do challenge you to stop by. He will only have King James Bibles on there and good books, and there's some fiction in there as well, and it's not all commentaries and things. There's good fiction books. I haven't seen them this time, but he usually does, and some CDs that'll be good music, and so I challenge you to stop by and buy some things. Thank you for the young men that helped him unload all that stuff beforehand. And then don't forget, Brother Muldoon, I'm going to let you slip back to your table, you and your wife, if you don't mind. We're certainly thankful to have, here they go, our newest missionaries and our mission family. We're certainly thankful for a church that loves missions and loves missionaries. And maybe some of you like to stop by. I already noticed some of you this morning were slipping them some money just to help with expenses. And so bless your heart. Thank you. You will never regret giving $20 or $50 to a good man of God that's going through here. And it does my heart good to see our church do that. It's such a blessing. And I do believe what the Scripture says, when we provide for those that are doing the work, God's got a bigger provider than we've got. Thank you for helping him. And so hopefully you get to see the Muldoons, and hopefully you get to up and see Brother Joe. It's good to see him and be a blessing to him as well. And we're glad to be in church. You can give on your way out. And as you give, many are giving to missions, giving their tithes and things like that as well. But isn't it exciting to be at a church where things are happening? I'm just in awe of what God's doing. Thank you for being part of it. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you.
Thank you.